Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, baby, here we go. It's hour two of the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Bobby Carella talking Mavs here coming up in about 20 minutes. Looks like brought us throughout his shoulder here, throwing up that number two.
No, I got that RSD shot or the RSV shot.
Okay.
For the old people, you know? So I got that today, so the arm's a little...
I know that feeling.
Yeah, the arm's a little sore.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, I know it'll nurse you back to health is more NFL news.
There we go.
We've been binging on draft and draft reaction. Bobby's coming up at 3:20. Yeah. CY at 4:20. Okay, it's a huge sports Monday here, and here's Wolchuk with more NFL news of the day.
Well, if you did miss it, Zeke is back. The reunion is official. We had teased this last week, but Zeke took his physical at 8 a.m., so the deal is for a maximum of $3 million for one Ezekiel Elliott. I do expect him to be RB1 when the season starts. Your running back room right now is looking like Royce Freeman. You got Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, Hunter Lipke, Malik Davis, Snoop Connor, and then undrafted rookie Nathaniel Pete will be all the potential running backs out of your backfield that we'll get to see.
Snoop Connor went bad at Ole Miss.
No, Snoop Connor was not bad. Snoop Connor might be the one. Like, I know Nathaniel Pete's the recent undrafted, but Snoop Connor might have a shot.
Yeah, and by the way, when we get that list, I promise you I'm going to do a Krusty's Corner of the free agents that they signed.
Yeah,
I'm
just waiting for the list. Somebody going after you on Twitter. They were watchdogging you.
Nah, it's okay. But yeah, they were saying, oh, it's your job, man. Do your job. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go watch the Mavs play this afternoon. Get down by 30. Yeah, how about that?
Hey,
but no.
You almost willed them to victory. When you took your shirt off, they started to come back.
I did. I was waving my shirt over my head in the press row, and I think it affected the way they played.
I think it did. I think it brought them. They were like, damn, we know.
But I promise inspiring. We get that list. I will look at those guys and make reports.
Well, let me throw this name out there for you. I hinted at, there's two. I hinted at this name, but we couldn't really say it during our draft coverage. We can say it here on The Fan. But Dameon Pierce, a running back currently of the Houston Texans two years ago, was fantastic as a rookie, had over 1,000 yards rushing. He has been rumored to be available on the trade block as they went ahead and brought in Joe Mixon.
Yeah,
but maybe that's a team, you know, you can call if you don't like what you're seeing during training camp. Give Houston a call. The other name that might be potentially on the chopping block.
And Abanikanda, too, was another. Who is he? Is he with the, who's with the Jet?
Abanikanda.
I don't think he's with the Jets.
The Pittsburgh running back. I think he is
with the Jets.
Is he with the Jets?
Yeah.
Okay, they took the runner.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. I was just kind of, there was a couple of names there that I was getting thrown at.
So here's the other one to me that could be interesting. Panthers took Jonathan Brooks, right? Now, Jonathan Brooks might end up being the number one back there. They signed Miles Sanders, former Eagle.
Hmm.
And Miles Sanders could end up being a cut candidate there in Carolina.
Yeah.
So maybe that's another name. I mean, I feel like there's some running backs that you still might be able to go and add via trade, or maybe they end up being a cap casualty, or once people go ahead and, they have a surplus at a position, as we always talk about during training camp. If you don't like what the running back room looks like, I don't think that's a finished product just
yet. I don't think
it
is either. I don't think that's finished either at all. I think they're going to explore some opportunities. They've got all these compensatory fives that they could go use. They used one last year, right? They used a couple Didn't they use?
They used them to go get Cooks.
To get Cooks,
and they used one.
To get the corner.
To get Gilmore.
Yeah, exactly.
And we know. I mean, look, they made the trade for Trey Lance in preseason.
Yeah.
So I don't think that thing's done just yet. But welcome back, Zeke. I know there's a lot of fans that are fired up about that. And I'm sure a lot of teammates as well. He was always a great teammate. This is interesting. How about Jarvis?
I'm sure the plug is happy, too. The plug is happy. Oh, he's coming back. Missing this fool.
Hell yeah. How about five-time Pro Bowler Jarvis Landry? He's expected to participate in the Jags' upcoming rookie minicamp, according to his agent, David Cantor. He sat out last season. Yeah, he's fully healthy. He's ready to return at age 31. So we'll have to monitor what happens with good old Jarvis Landry there. We got some shakeups in the TV world. So Jason Kelce, it was rumored he was going to go ahead and join ESPN. It's official now. The Athletic is saying that former Eagle center Jason Kelce joining ESPN for a role on Monday Night Football's pregame show.
Okay.
So we're going to get to watch him leading up to Monday Night Football, but then CBS making some moves. Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason are out on the NFL today. They are making room for Matt Ryan, who will be on the pregame show. So it's going to be
J.J. Watt, too.
Yeah,
right?
J.J. Watt. So it's going to be Matt Ryan, James Brown, Nate Burleson, Bill Cowher, and J.J. Watt. So after 22 years, bye-bye, boom, from CBS and the NFL today.
I'm sorry, but I don't know how you feel about Bill Cowher. I kind of feel like he never says anything. I don't feel like his opinion to me is always like just so down the middle. Like he doesn't want to make anybody mad or upset or... You know,
yeah.
I don't want to piss anybody off in the coaching world or ownership.
He's just
going to
give you some coaching cliches.
Yeah,
he's
going to spit in the camera a couple of times when he says stuff.
But that chin is still so strong.
That thing's made for television.
I still like him on TV. I can't say that I enjoy Boomer or Phil.
Oh no, Sims and Boomer. I'm sorry. I could do without either one of those. I think Nate Burleson's a star. Myself.
Nate Burleson's fantastic.
I love Nate Burleson.
He is. Nate Burleson, I think, can do anything he wants.
Yep.
And he's going to be successful at it.
News, sports, doesn't matter. Yeah.
The Eagles are signing former Jets first rounder Mekhi Becton to a 1-year deal. $5.5 million. Just 25 years old, was the 11th overall pick in 2020. Just hasn't been able to stay healthy. Last season, though, as well, when he played, was not good. Allowed 12 sacks, 31 hurries, and 47 total pressures. Jets said thank you, but no thank you. Brought in Tyron Smith. And then, of course, they drafted Olufoshanu in the first round out of Penn State. So Mekhi Becton, I guess the Eagles, we had heard, right? They wanted to move up in the first round, maybe for a tackle, maybe for a corner. They end up staying put.
Yeah, they
still get maybe the best corner in the draft in Quinyon Mitchell, but they never really addressed that tackle
spot.
No,
they never did, though. Then Jeff Southland, the coach there, that offensive line coach, he's becoming the new running game Moses over there.
He's doing a nice job coaching him up.
Yeah.
Shout out to Travis Kelce. I'm sure Taylor's happy as well, but he got himself a $34.25 million extension, make him the highest paid tight end, 2 years more on that deal. And then Christian Barmore.
She said, oh, cute.
Yeah. That's some change for me, honey. Oh,
that's gas money for
so
a jet.
So happy for you, babe.
I'm glad you're contributing to the cause here.
Yeah.
Christian Barmore, defensive tackle of the Patriots, got a 4-year extension, according to his agent. This thing's worth $92 million. It's the biggest contract the Patriots have ever given out to somebody not named Tom Brady. Pretty impressive there for the defensive tackle, Christian Barmore. And then before we get into what went down with Tank Dell, we do have the roast of Tom Brady that's going to be coming up. We are excited for this one. So it's going to be May 5th, live on Netflix. Randy Moss, Julian Edelman, Drew Bledsoe, and Gronk are all some who will get to roast Tom Brady at the greatest roast of all time on May 5th.
Impossible for those guys to do, by the way.
Yeah.
Because it's live.
Yeah.
To roast somebody is impossible. Like the ones we see on Comedy Central, they've been edited down. You know, maybe like they dropped 12 jokes and four of them didn't make it. But we don't know that.
Dude.
So, doing it live and you're not used to it, it's going to be good, bro.
They shouldn't do this live.
It's appointment television.
Good product.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's something to the live element in some of those mistakes, I guess.
Maybe that's
People do enjoy a good train wreck, I think.
Yeah, that's that element. We root for the chaos.
I just want to see a comedian struggling up there. I love that. Is there any birthdays in the house tonight? All right, everybody.
They used to do these roasts of the comedians in the 70s, the Dean Martin roast, but everybody was all liquored up. It was like Mardi Gras Brian up there, like doing it.
Wow.
I hope they do the same thing with this crew.
I mean, absolutely. I haven't seen a roast from Comedy Central or whatever over the years that I didn't like. Like these usually, like always hit. They're hilarious.
I know, they're so funny. Like even if they're people that I don't care about, the roast is still good. Like, damn. Yeah. Like the Justin Bieber one.
It's
like,
phenomenal. Is Bill Burr involved? He's a Boston guy, right?
I would hope Bill Burr needs to be.
Yeah. He could carry this thing if he had to.
Yeah. Is it
That's the same thing I said the other day.
Yeah, you're right.
You guys
are
crazy.
No, you're right. No, you're right.
I think you want to get.
Who is the guy that usually is always? Is it Jeff Ross?
Yeah.
He's the
roast master.
Yeah. He's the guy that they always bring in for these.
Yeah, and he's in this. He's in this for
you
sure.
Bill Burr for Brady would make a lot of sense. Luce is right about that. Texans wide receiver, Tank Dell.
Bobby just turned his mic off now.
Oh, yeah.
I do think Belichick would be good, though, Dawson.
I mean, he was great with McAfee over the weekend. The cuts that I got to see, like, I didn't get to watch it live.
No, he was terrific.
But
yeah.
It seemed like his, like, the personality, he brought it, man.
He was trying extra hard to be a Richard during his coaching days.
Right.
And I wouldn't forgive him if I'm the media now. Yeah. Don't give me your smile now. Yeah. Don't give me your words now, bro. I don't care what my program is.
I had to go to therapy, Bill.
Are we getting a more real version of him now, you think?
I don't think so. Okay. No, I think this is a capitulatory Belichick who is embarrassed. He was chased off by football, and now he still wants to be involved. So now he's willing to be cool, which I think is a Richard move.
He's got to rebuild the image and get back into the cycle next year.
So in January, when he comes back here, he gets to be a Richard again?
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
He's right back into his Richard jeans. Yeah, it'll be seamless.
Wait, the toothpaste out of the tube now. He's got to be a nice guy when he comes here, right?
I don't think so. No. No, because in true, like, narcissist D-word fashion, he's only going to be nice while he needs something from you. Mm. Screw Belichick. Wolchuk, back to you.
Thank you, buddy.
What happened there?
We had really good news. Okay, this was a scary...
He was waiting until I was finished.
I just wanted to make sure you
were done. About 7 seconds.
Can I finish?
Hold on. Hold on a second. 1 second. I'm not done. Tank Dell suffered a minor injury after he was the victim of a shooting incident in Florida. Now, this was scary because Tank Dell already is working on rehabbing from a catastrophic knee injury. Now, he's ahead of schedule on that, but now he's involved in a shooting. He's been released from the hospital. Everything's good, but it was a 16-year-old who was arrested after shooting 10 people shortly after midnight at the Cabana Live. And this was one where this could have been way, way worse. Yeah. Tank Dell avoiding serious injury. Nothing more has come out as to, you know, was Tank Dell just more involved in this? Or was it just, hey, you know, this guy came out, opened fire? I don't think he was really a part of this. I think he was just an innocent bystander that got struck. But thank God that could have been way worse. And we're happy that Tank Dell is in good shape.
Yeah, scary deal for sure. My goodness.
Uh-oh, did you guys see Keon Coleman's introductory presser with the Bills?
Yes.
I knew you would love this, Brian.
Absolutely did.
He is channeling all of the Louisiana heritage here. Yes. But I also, I can relate to this. Here's Keon Coleman as he's wearing his yellow jacket on the podium, just having a good back and forth with the Bills reporters.
Yeah.
Coat from here, from there, huh?
Huh?
Got you a coat from here?
Nah, man, you forgot I went to school in Michigan for 2 years? guess where I got this from, though? That I'm saying you gotta guess. You're gonna be wrong though, but guess.
Time is up.
Nah. Macy's. What do you mean? they be on sale on the rack, all the colors.
Right. Exactly.
Look, $79.89. Nice little deal. You can get the trench coat for like $100. Nice little, I'll take you there personally. I might go get some more colors. I need a blue one and another red one.
Got you. I'm with you.
Got you.
See, I ain't know nothing about Thanksgiving. I get, you see, I shop like my mom. I get my coats in the summertime.
Smart.
You got to shop a season or two before, just in case, you know, and they be cheaper. Because you go at Thanksgiving, everybody in Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying? Who we starting with?
Yeah.
Oh, we could go, oh, my bad, hold up. Y'all can hear me? This on? All right, bro. I'm Jamaican Sean Hoover, ain't trying to set me up. Who we got going first?
I love that, man. Yeah. Keon Coleman, one of my favorite receivers in the draft. I mean, he ends up sliding into the second round, goes 33 overall. I think that's a great fit with Buffalo. He gets to be now their new number one guy. But he's dropping knowledge. Like, that's exactly what you need to be doing. You need to be buying your clothes out of season because they are cheaper. Like, growing up, my mom gave me that advice, too. Everyone's buying it in November during Thanksgiving. He knows what's up here, Keon Coleman. Take some notes.
It's only going to get you, like, once every 12 years when they change the jean style, you know? They're like, hey, we're going from baggy to tight. If you do that year, you're going to have to, you know, either wear out of style stuff, which I'm totally up for. you know, for maybe 3 or 4 years.
You've proved that time and time again.
Thank you. Yeah. Sometimes put my money where my mouth is.
Sometimes you don't even pack clothes. You just show up in the same thing every day.
You know, Brian.
But Keon, Brian,
that's
Keon
impressive.
Coleman,
that
man.
Was impressive, though, Keon by Coleman's the way. I admire
that. Thank you.
That.
Where was awesome. That? Vegas? Was that Vegas?
Yeah.
Vegas.
Yeah. That was impressive. Yeah. You might have just laid
dude,
the foundation for the rest of the trips.
Dude, do you need to go get your bag? No, man, we're good. Let's go.
We're good. I had things really? To do. I was busy about this. You know, don't worry about it.
You guys ever notice that the quality of the clothes have went down, though?
What do you mean?
I used to burn down Macy's. Yep. And there's T-shirts there called Roundtree in York. Some of the best T-shirts you will ever get. Used to be, not anymore.
Yeah,
same thing happened to Express clothes. They got all weird and
thread
just,
counts
yeah,
going down.
Express used to be great.
Yeah, man, I don't like that whatsoever.
Major League Baseball uniforms.
How about that?
They're charging the same price. They're just shrinking the quality. That's shrinkflation.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Not a fan.
Shout out to Texas. They had 11 players drafted. That was the most in program history for the seven-round era for the Texas Longhorns. Michigan led the way with 13 players being drafted among college football programs over the weekend. Yeah, they probably should have. You had Alabama, Florida State, and Washington all tied for third with 10 drafted, respectfully. Dax Hill going to make a position switch from safety for the Cincinnati Bengals. He was a corner. And how about to his brother? Talia, he is going to get a camp invite, and he is going to be with Seattle. So the Seahawks going ahead and bringing in Tua's younger brother as an undrafted rookie free agent.
Did he sign with them, or is this just one of those workouts when they camp?
He signed as an undrafted rookie free agent.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so
sometimes
he's
you
be
can
in
bring
there.
Guys in just to work out, and I thought maybe that was
He'll get himself a chance.
Good.
There's your NFL News of the Day.
Thank you, Woolchuck. Most afternoons, 3:20. He stands and delivers the top NFL storylines from Pro Football, 3 o'clock. Bobby Corella set to join you next here in the G-Bag Nation.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time to talk Mavs with Bobby Corella. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. go to FrankoFirm.com. Bobby Carella, Mavs.com, joining us here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty well, guys. I cleaned my bathroom. I vacuumed my apartment today. Just had to get some of the stink off me after yesterday, you know?
Yeah. Man, that was crazy. How would you describe the scene at the AAC? Is that comeback must have been intoxicating, but to have it come up just short, it was like, wait, what did I just see?
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, like, the third quarter, you know, the back half of the second quarter and the entire third quarter and the first, like, 9.5 minutes of the fourth quarter was probably the coolest environment I've ever been in my life, sports-wise. But, I mean, unfortunately, the first 18 minutes were also a thing that happened, and the final couple minutes, it was like, I don't know, it was like someone showed you, like, a $1 million bill and let you kind of, like, reach out and touch it just for a second there. I was like, ah, not so fast. And they pulled it back and put it right back in their wallet. I mean, it was a perfect encapsulation of the highs and lows of sports, and you had like a decade's worth of drama all in about 48 minutes. So it was a lot. It was a lot to take in, that's for sure.
Would you have changed anything in the final couple minutes, or do you think Coach gave him the best possible chance with that lineup?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that's been a big you know, point of discussion in the last 24 hours or so. It's important to remember, I mean, the Maxi PJ front court has been the Mavs' best statistical lineup this season, and that includes, you know, the starting lineup with Daniel Gafford in it or with Derek Lively in it. I think given the specific game circumstances, I don't mind sticking with that group, but before the floater parade began, you know, before Harden, I think, made like 4 or 5 straight floaters down the stretch in that game, before that, they were double teaming the ball, because a lot of this is designed around trying to protect Luka, right? And Luka obviously was a little banged up yesterday. You know, his knee was clearly bothering him. He looked a step slower than he was, especially in game 2, whenever he was so good on defense. And so they were putting too high on the ball, and they were just getting cooked on these cuts to the rim and kickouts to the corner. The Clippers were shooting so well. And so you're forced to make this decision like, all right, well, we can't double team. Our rotations are already kind of shaky as it is defensively. So let's just put a guy on Harden and take away his left hand and hope that works. And you know, it happened to Luka twice. It happened to PJ Washington twice, where Harden went to his right hand, which is his weak hand.
Yeah.
But of course, he's going to come back to his left to finish. And it's like, if you're going to give him his right hand, once he starts going right, don't overreact and try and get to his right hand, because he's just going to cross over and go left again. And that's where he wants to finish anyway. So I think you need to like really, really hard commit to that. And then ultimately, you would like to see some sort of help, some sort of rotation from Maxi at the back. But you know, earlier in the fourth quarter, he was sliding over to help. And then it was just easy drop-offs to Plumlee or Zubats or the cutting Russell Westbrook or whoever. So, you know, honestly, I think the thing I would have changed is, and I don't even know if this is a change, but you just have to be better at the point of attack. If you get beat off the dribble in the NBA, you are done. And that's especially without a ball screen. Like if you get blown by one-on-one, it's over. You know, you've already lost the possession. You have to hope they miss. And unfortunately, the Mavs just were not stable enough at the point of attack in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Yeah, Bobby, it seems like to me that is such a low percentage shot for him to take anyway. You know, I mean, I think the Mavs were probably more worried about him stepping back and hitting threes, which is a much higher percentage shot for him than the floaters. I mean, he got, you know, fortunate yesterday afternoon that those things worked out for him. I was kind of just amazed. You know, like I'm sitting there like watching the game live. And by the way, your pregame scouting reports are the best for the crowd.
Oh, thank you.
I love when you do that. And because Chris tried to bait you into the Kawhi not playing was a good thing, and you kind of said, whoa.
Hey, tap the brakes.
Yeah, you did. People, you did a good job. Yeah, the crowd was cheering, and then you gave that real knowledge, and we were all like, oh, yeah.
Won he's got both games without
should
a
Should the Clippers even play Kawhi anymore, Bobby?
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly, they've looked really dang good in the 2 games where he hasn't played, you know, and it's one of those weird things where, like, obviously you think your better chance to win the championship is to play Kawhi, but your better chance to win this series might be to not play him, you know, and maybe hope that you can beat the Mavs without him and then bring him back later on. But as for your question about the Harden floaters,
yeah,
you know, I think one of the toughest shots to make in the NBA is a floater from between, like, 9 and 13 feet. Mm-hmm. Harden was just getting like an extra step. You know, yeah, he was getting into like 5 feet or 6 feet, where it's still kind of a tough shot if you're going full speed, because, you know, you're taking a floater, like you almost have to shoot it like straight up in the air. It's going to feel like you're kind of shooting it behind yourself, you know, because you're going to the basket with so much momentum. But when you're that close, all you have to do is flip it up with enough touch to where if it does catch the rim, it'll still kind of bounce in, you know. And I think that has to do with either showing help earlier to force him to jump earlier or to pick up his dribble earlier, or, again, just being more stout at the point of attack and forcing him into a more difficult situation. Because if he gets by you easily and then there's also no help, he's able to settle into that really cozy range. You know, if you're forcing him to take like a 12-foot pull-up or a 9-foot full speed, like kind of awkward floater where it's like, do I need to stop and shoot or should I just let this thing go? That's a much tougher shot. But I feel like, you know, even despite him not being much of a floater shooter, I think I heard somewhere he'd only made 11 floaters all season before last night.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. Exactly.
So like, you know, that's just a much easier shot to make than what you could have done if you just would have been just a little more precise.
Mm. It's Bobby Corella here. If Luka is dinged or just not as effective, you know, Terrence Mann playing some pretty good defense on him as well, would you consider going with more of Kyrie as primary or would you consider that at all?
That's a tough one. You know, I think the easy answer is yes. Just let Kyrie kind of run the show and have Luka capitalize on the attention that Kyrie receives, like Kyrie's able to capitalize on the attention Luka receives. But part of what makes Kyrie so good whenever he's off the ball is he's an incredible cutter. He's a great relocator on the floor, and he has a really quick release on those catch and shoot threes. Whereas Luka, it takes him a little while longer to get the ball. He's not as much of a cutter. You know, he does some give and go stuff, but without the ball, he's not as much of a cutter. It's just his play develops a little slower than Kyrie's. I also think, you know, the Clippers have shown much more of a willingness to double team Kyrie in the pick and roll than Luka. With Luka, they're switching or they're just really getting up in his grill with smaller guys and forcing him to like come around the screen. And then he wants to put the smaller guy in jail. So he's not really driving as hard as he can to the rim. He's kind of waiting to get those guys pinned to his hip. It's just a longer developing play. Whereas with Kyrie, the big is just stepping out and forcing him to make some pocket passes. And it worked, you know, especially in the first half yesterday. Kyrie ended the game with 7 turnovers, and I think 3 or 4 of them were trying to make some, you know, these little pocket passes to split the double team. He's a smaller guy. Zubac is huge. Plumlee is huge. I mean, that's just a lot of length. Paul George, obviously, is doing a really commendable job, I feel like, defending him as well. So that's a lot of stuff for him to navigate, where if you ask him to do that for 40 minutes or 45 minutes, he might run out of gas by the fourth quarter. I mean, that's asking a whole lot of him as a distributor and a facilitator in addition to what you need from him in terms of scoring. So it's tough. I mean, you got to find the right balance. I think, you know, it's a big bummer that that Dante Exum hasn't been, you know, super effective in this series, especially on offense. You know, I feel like he's been okay on defense, but offensively shown a little kind of some reticence, some hesitation. You know, the shots aren't falling. They really need one other guy, at least one other guy, that can do some sort of facilitation. So that way you can have Luka off the ball and maybe still also have Kyrie off the ball too. That way you kind of help everybody all at once. But as it stands right now, based on who's been playing well and, you know, who's been struggling, you really only have one or two options. It's Luka and Kyrie, and neither one is super preferable, at least, you know, right now.
Bobby Corella with us here in the G-Bag Nation talking Mavs. I do want to ask you, do you think it's time to get more Derek Lively? Feel like Gafford also hasn't been quite as good as we were hoping him to be. But when the Mavs were rallying and coming back, the defense and the rebounding and really just the energy that Lively provided, that's why the final 2 minutes, I get those that were sick of the Harden floaters. Why not put Lively back in the game?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I thought Lively was really good yesterday. I think he's been really good really throughout most of the series with the exception of game one. You know, I thought he kind of struggled game one. Whereas Gafford, you know, I thought Gafford was pretty good in game three, but yesterday was a bit of a step back for him for sure. You know, there was a stretch in the early fourth quarter where he missed a layup, got the rebound and missed a dunk, or maybe missed a dunk and then got his own rebound and missed a layup, and then got the ball back again and was fouled and then missed a free throw. And right after that, there was a stoppage of play, a timeout, and he went over to the bench and slammed his hand down on a seat and was just very clearly frustrated with himself. And it's been that kind of series for him. I mean, through 4 games now, he's shooting 37% from the floor. This is a guy who led the NBA in field goal percentage of the season, literally doubling what he's shooting in this series right now for the season. So, you know, it's uncharted territory for him. I feel like Lively's been, you know, really energetic, especially in the two home games. He is able to finish around the rim. He's been feeling good. He's been blocking shots. I think maybe you might see more minutes for him, but down the stretch in that game, you know, Jay Kidd decided to roll with the five-out lineup, and I thought they were able to create a lot of good looks with that group, whereas when the Mavs have gone with one big, like a traditional big, you know, Gafford or Lively, the Clippers are doing a really good job of shrinking the court, which is especially giving Luka a hard time. But I think if down the stretch in games, if you do commit to playing more through Kyrie than Luka, I think you can get away with playing one of those traditional bigs, in this case, you know, Lively in yesterday's case, because Kyrie doesn't really mind the all the bodies in the middle of the lane. Like, he's going to pull up from 18 or 21 or from 7, and he can finish through 75 people. It doesn't matter. Like, that stuff doesn't bother him as much. So I wonder if, you know, if the plan is to play through Kyrie more, if they'll consider, you know, keeping Lively or Gafford out there, you know, if one of them is playing well down the stretch.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you if you've ever seen a more impressive finish than the one that Kyrie had there, where I believe the Clippers had 9 defenders at the rim trying to block a shot.
I mean, yeah, they broke the rules. They were cheating to stop him, and it still didn't work. I mean, it was amazing. And, like, dude, can you imagine if they would have won that game yesterday? Like, that would be an all-time comeback, and Kyrie, that would be an all-time Mavs playoff performance. I mean, what he was able to do yesterday was truly, like, it was stupendous. It was unbelievable what he was doing on the floor. And, you know, it's a shame that it ultimately went to waste. But, I mean, my God, like, he has been shredding these guys in the second half of games. They just need someone. I mean, specifically Luka, but they really need other guys to step up and generate enough offense before Kyrie gets it going, so that instead of trailing, Kyrie's helping you put the game away.
Bobby, you're the man. Is there anything else about this series, this matchup, that you'd like to say before we let you go?
I don't know. I mean, hopefully 2 days off gives Luka some time to, you know, get some more recovery on that knee. They obviously need him at both ends of the floor in this series if they want to win. I also know the Mavs are undefeated in this series when the Clippers don't make at least half their threes. So keep closing out, keep making things tough, and hopefully you'll get some bounces to go your way. But this is what the playoffs is all about. When you win, you feel like you're immortal. When you lose, you feel like the world is falling apart. I mean, this is why we do it. So, you know, I just hope everybody enjoys it, and hopefully Game 5 goes a little better for Dallas.
Cheers, buddy. Enjoy.
Thank you, guys.
There he goes. Bobby Carella, Mavs.com, here with you as that series is tied at 2. Just an unbelievable amount of very difficult threes. I don't think the Clippers can continue anything close to that pace. It's tough to say who's going to win the series now, though. I think the Mavs are the better team, but L.A. has two of the three at home. So we shall see. Where are we going next, Chief?
Best of the weekend, and it was a good one for our DFW Wyatts. That's next year in the nation.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on The Fan. Draft grades from experts, how do they compare to what Broadus and Woolchuck are saying? We got a C-note coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll get into some draft grades and whatnot. Here's Chief with the best of the weekend.
What was your favorite moment of the sports weekend? There was a lot to choose from here. 877-881-1053. I think I know Wolchuk's favorite part. Yeah, I imagine you guys just a huge exhale at the end of what was like an 8.5 hour broadcast on Saturday after the long one on Friday night and Thursday night. You guys are savage animals. I know Wolchuk texted me yesterday. He hooked up to the IV, you know, just rehydrating after a long weekend. Just laid it out all on the line. You know, I got nothing but respect for both of you guys. We'll get to
you
Wolchuk's.
You look like Luka by the end of that draft show.
I know, dude. Hey, but he put up a triple-double still.
Man.
We will get to Walchuk's favorite moment of the sports weekend here in just a second. But Friday night was basketball euphoria, where the Mavericks looked like they were channeling something, the best version of themselves, and it was all out there. It was like, oh my gosh, we're going to go ahead and run away. We're already starting to look ahead to round two. Friday night was special. And then in came Wyatt Johnston and the Stars on Saturday.
Nab, Stars are in. Wyatt Johnston. Johnston, delay shoots. He scores. He went upstairs. What a shot. Wyatt Johnston's the hero. The Stars win game three, and we've got ourselves a series.
Heck yeah, we do. Thanks to the 20-year-old, the dominance continues, and now we do. We have ourselves a series. That's the amazing part. It sucks right now in the Mavs series we're in. You think you have it, and then all of a sudden, well, maybe not. But the opposite in the Stars, we're all counting them out. You go into Vegas, you steal one, and now we're saying there's a chance.
That game was emotional torture to go up 2-0 like that, then to have it tied for so dang long.
Yeah,
was,
I know.
You had to earn that one.
It was domination.
I mean,
the Stars could have been up 5-0. They were killing that game for about 30 minutes, and all of a sudden, 4-on-4, here go the Golden Knights, 2-1. Then you have a shorthanded goal that you allow. It's 2-2, and that's when I fell asleep. And I wake up, baby is crying. I look at my phone.
Tears of joy.
It is 3
Wyatt Johnston.
I'm like, oh my God, what happened? Did the Stars win? Did they lose? I'm heating up a bottle. Oh my God, Wyatt Johnston scored. The Stars won. So I missed this thing. I had to go back and watch it as I'm feeding baby Eliza. I tried so hard to fight through that. But that's a 9:50 start time after we'd been doing 8.5 hours of the draft. I was not built for that. I'm starting to show my age. But thank God. I mean, one thing the Stars need to do a better job of, they got to get their face-offs up. Percentage winning. They usually do
usually
that
pretty
well.
Good with that, aren't they?
Vegas killed them in the Western Conference final with that. Vegas is killing them with that in this series. But it's also, it just shows you the small margins the Stars have here. The second you make a mistake, it seems like the Golden Knights are ready to pounce on you and they capitalize on it. The Stars, on the other hand, they have not had that luxury. But yeah, they're now alive in the series. If they find a way to equalize it tonight, we're going to be feeling real good.
But this dude, Wyatt Johnston, I mean, my gosh, that shot, the angle of that shot, I don't know how he makes it in there. Like, that was ridiculous.
He had a similar game winner against the Kraken in the opening round, I think. I don't know. It might have been second round series, but I think they opened with the Wild and then went Kraken.
Yeah.
But he had a similar top shelf, just kind of
ridiculous.
Elevated it and found it to underneath the bar there.
Yeah. Everything about him is awesome, though. I mean, he's played every game for the Stars over the last two seasons. It's 56 goals and 50 assists. And then it seems like he takes his game to the next level come postseason time. It's like, what more do you want from this dude? He's incredible, and that's why at number one. Then yesterday, Ranger victory. Here's home run number one for our second favorite Wyatt of the day.
3-2 again. Langford swings, it's a high drive, deep right center field. Fairchild back, he's at the wall. That ball is off the wall at the 374 sign. And Karam's toward the right field corner. Heim has scored, Langford around third. He is digging for the plate. No throw to the plate. He slides in with an inside the park home run. How about that? His first major league home run is an inside the parker. And the Rangers lead 4-0.
I wonder what odds were like. Wyatt Langford Bankford's first home run inside the park variety.
Oh my God.
You know what? There were no odds because nobody thought that was going to happen.
No. Nobody thought that was going to happen. Nobody thought his first home run would take maybe as long as it has to this point. But what an epic way to tally your first one.
I was worried, though, on the relay. Did you see how they lined that thing up?
Yeah.
Elliott de la Cruz. I'm thinking, okay, here comes a throw.
I thought it was play the plate.
Here comes a throw from the outfield grass. It's going to be a laser shot, and it never materialized.
Didn't
that
matter.
Way. No, it didn't, and I was. But the way that
I mean,
the
what's
relay,
the total time on that? Has there ever been a faster?
Okay, I did. Okay, I wondered because I was doing the show with Will Chambers yesterday for BetQL, and Will was like, you know, De La Cruz has one inside the Parker where it was like sub 15 seconds.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we kind of timed it up unofficially ourselves, and it was like right at 15 seconds. So unofficially, I clocked them.
Wait.
Hey, you should be proud of me, man. I'm pulling out the stopwatch and putting my scout's eye on. I mean, come on, I think I nailed
it. Did you do it on your phone?
Yeah, I did.
I know. I'm just saying. I've seen a scout time on a phone before. I have. I've seen that actually. But no, the fact that you were able to do it.
15 seconds, my dude.
I was worried that the relay, that guy was going to get over there and get that ball. And it, seriously, I mean, we've seen him make throws where it's just like
Yeah, he's got a cannon.
Blows the glove off the guy.
He's got a hose.
Okay, yeah. Bobby Witt Jr. went 14-3, but Byron Buxton has a 13-9 and a 14-1 back in 16 and 17. Then the old Royal D. Gordon went 14-2 back in 2015. Jeez. So there have been some faster ones. I think you got to be thinking about it out of the box. Not a, oh, that's probably a double. I'm going to cruise into second here. You got to be thinking I'm digging something out, and then it turns into something else.
Right, yeah. You got to go immediate bat, hit, ball, and then you turn the jets on, and it's no looking back. But nobody's done it with that Lankford build. I mean, he's got way too much muscle to be able to move that fast.
Yeah. The other day, though, he had a sure triple and fell down.
I know.
That he turned the base. I was like, oh, please don't do that again.
Only the second and third best plays of the weekend, though. Abby, who I've lost faith in the ability to kick it hard because she's like her daddy and has chicken legs, rips a banger from outside the box about 30 yards into the wind.
Nice.
Far post upper 90 for the game.
Whoa.
We won 2-1.
Wow, that's great.
Filthy.
Proud dad.
Okay, yeah. So move over Wyatt Johnston. We have a new game winner in
and
town.
Lankford.
Gosh, that's fantastic.
Uh-huh.
What a feeling. Like, I've never gotten to experience the walk-off game-winning moment in any type of situation. Like, that's pretty incredible right there. What an awesome feeling.
I was a role player.
Neither did me and Wolchuk either.
Yeah. That's
World
surprising,
Series.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, we don't need to relive that nightmare.
You're
in fact,
up old stuff,
no,
man.
Let's not bring up old nightmares. Let's bring up Walchuk's
you
favorite.
Said relive it. I mean,
Walchuk's favorite moment of the weekend.
Oh, yes.
Take it away, Draft Show.
All right, here's the Cowboys
with
selection.
The 73rd pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Cooper Beebe.
Yes. Let's go.
Actually, I'm very happy with
you.
If you're going to put his tail at center.
Heck yes.
I'm so happy for you, Zach. Like, genuinely, I'm so happy for you.
Dude, I love this guy.
You have a child and Cooper Beebe in the same month.
Oh, my gosh.
It has been a heck of a run here. Walchuk's on a bit of a heater. He missed out on his guy, Graham Barton, in round one. But if you told him in that moment, hey, you're going to get Guyton and Beebe out of this thing. I think he goes full torque and he's all smiles.
Pants are flying off, man. Cooper Beebe's just an absolute stud. I mean, getting to interview him afterwards, I'm like, Cooper, I know you're pumped. I can't be as pumped as you. You just got drafted, but I am so thrilled that you're a Dallas Cowboy. That's my favorite pick of the draft, man. Cooper Beebe is a monster. And this team needed some grit. They needed some toughness. They needed some physicality. He is all of that and more.
Do you think he's a year one starter?
I think he should be your starting center. But I do know Brock Hoffman has some
a lot
support.
Of love.
A lot of love. So they're going to have him compete. But to me, I don't know how you keep Cooper Beebe off the field.
I think my favorite comp to this point on Beebe came from Cowboys Due Diligence on Twitter, who says, my guy Cooper Beebe is built like Blastoise.
He is built like, I said thick as a bowl of oatmeal.
Yeah, which is.
Blastoise is good.
Yeah, you painted the picture beautifully. And then I went and saw him like, yeah, this dude is, he's everything you want here. Just looks like a physical dude. What was his line? What's his favorite thing
he
to do
said,
on the field?
I dirt people.
Like to dirt people. Just 6 feet under. But built like Blastoise for sure. Yeah. If you Google up the Pokemon guy, that is exactly who you just have as your new center of the future. Very, very exciting. Congratulations to the entire Walchuk family. I know it's a big moment for everyone. Huge moment for the Lawan family. You guys are familiar with Taylor Lawan.
Yeah. Was former, he slamming beers at a playoff
he's
game?
He's slamming beers alongside his daughter, who is too young to be drinking alcohol. So she was chugging at the same time on the Jumbotron at the Nashville Predators game over the weekend. Dad is chugging a beer, you know, typical pint size, while daughter is hammering home her water bottle.
I love that.
And so they're both doing sort of a chug-off situation, but you can tell that was not her first rodeo. We know it was not his first rodeo. And that's about as good as it gets from a father-daughter bonding experience there. At a postseason game, hockey environment, hockey vibes, chug vibes.
That's awesome.
And they both executed it to perfection. So salute to them. Probably.
Golly, I love that, man. What a girl dad moment for the ages.
I know.
Captured
dude.
On the Jumbotron.
I know, in front of everybody. Yes.
Dad assisting it.
Rocking the lip ferret there like a total stud. Lawan's a beast, dude.
You know, there's a saying that the first daughter is the spitting image of dad. Do you notice that first daughter's more like you than the others?
Personality-wise, probably not quite as much. She's a little bit more badass than me. My second one is a little bit more me. But I was the second born in my family, so I don't know like what the correlation is there. You know, so my first one is just she's all over the place, and if you can't find her, she's probably up in a tree somewhere at 4 years old. She's a climbing machine. Wow. Just all over the place. So pretty fantastic there. Now, I haven't confirmed that Chris Brown is the reason for this, but over the weekend, the rapper Quavo had a concert in Bridgeport, Connecticut that would look to be in a venue where you were expecting a large mass of human beings,
yeah.
And the photos reveal that almost practically no one showed up, and Quavo's in the middle of a beef right now with Chris Brown. And people are alleging that Chris Brown just bought all the tickets in the arena so that nobody would be there for the performance.
Dude.
So it's like, this is allegedly, but it does seem like congratulations to Chris Brown with the alleged petty move of the weekend.
That's 3D chess.
Yeah.
Man. Although I might enjoy the night off if I'm Quavo.
Right yeah, but on. The thing Thanks is, there was like 100 people there. You still got to put on a show.
You still got to do the show.
That sucks.
We got to run. We got a C note. What Will McClay said about the selections. Plus, what the experts, how do they grade the Cowboys draft that's coming up next? It's the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.